Blog Talk Radio.
Religious church, wherever you are, I need you to put your hands on it like this. Come on. Yep. Everybody climb like this, like this. We want to see you. Yeah, no. So open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Just open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Say, I want to see you. Just open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. Cause I want to see you. That's our heart today. I want to see you. Wherever you are, let's raise it together. Come on, take it.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to. Come on, if you want to see him in the midst of the noise, in the midst of the chaos.
I want to.
Come on, just ask him today. Oh, 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 say, open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
I want to see it like you see.
Open the eyes of my heart.
I want.
To see your high and lifted up,
shining in the light,
shining in the light of your glory.
Just pour out,
pour
oh God,
out your power and love.
As we
see
you,
holy, holy,
he's the holy God.
Holy.
To see you
high and lifted up,
shining in the light
shining
of your glory. Nation, we need you to pour. This world needs you to pour, God. Let's do it again. Put your hands on. Come on. Woo. Come on, wherever you are, clap your hands. If you want to see him, everybody clap, clap, clap your heart's desire, God. We just want you and only you. All over the world, let's sing it together. Say, open the
eyes.
We want your perspective, God. Give us your perspective.
Oh,
I want to see for my family. I need to see for my business. God, I need to see you. Come on. Say,
open the eyes.
Give us heaven's view today. Say, I want to see. Never before, I need to see you. Our prayer today is that you would open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
open the eyes of my heart, 'cause I wanna see you. Stay right there. I wanna see you. Come on in your homes, tell them. I wanna see you. The hope of glory. I wanna see you. Jehovah Jireh. I wanna see you. Come on, talk to him.
I wanna
say,
I wanna see you.
You're what we want, oh God, and I wanna see you. Say,
I wanna see you.
Give us your eyes today, God.
I wanna
give us your view today. Give us your perspective today. Help us to see through your lens today, oh God. Help us to see that everything is gonna be alright, and I wanna see you.
I wanna see you.
Oh God,
I wanna see you.
Lift those hands right here. Say,
I wanna see you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Hallelujah. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters, family and friends. You are indeed listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, hallelujah, April the 10th, 2022. And the first thing we'd like to wish all of you is a very beautiful and blessed Palm Sunday, hallelujah. And we are so glad that you are here with us tonight. Now, today, I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and as always, I'm joined by my phenomenal Spirit Alive family in the persons of Minister Tina Brown, Evangelist Michelle Scott, hallelujah, Sister Diane, Bishop Lester Carver, Minister Gladys McGee, hallelujah, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, and of course, Evangelist Shirley Whitehead. We want to just all thank you for coming, and we want to welcome you to this morning service. And at this time, we're going to ask that Minister Tina Brown come and lead us in a word of prayer. Amen.
Amen. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your throne today, just giving you all the praise and the glory, thanking you for another day you've given us to have the opportunity to learn more of you and worship you, Heavenly Father. Just as the song said, our opening song said, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Let us all open our hearts. Give us ears to hear the message that you want us to receive today, Heavenly Father. We thank you so much for the Spirit Alive Ministry, for people who are listening in near and far who may need to hear this message today, Heavenly Father. We bless the message and the messenger. Thank you so much for giving us this day to praise and worship you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Bread of life, sent down the glory. Many think you were honest, a holy king, a carpenter, but you are the living word. Say it now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.
Bread,
send down some glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were on earth, a
whole
king, a
carpenter.
You are the
living
word.
Awesome ruler, Gentile redeemer. God with us,
God with us, the living truth, and
We'd like to call you Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you, yeah.
Meditational reading, and each week we ask the mother of our assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come and share with us a meditational reading from the powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince. So at this time, would you please retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to the mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Good morning and praise God. I'm so happy to be here. This morning's meditational reading is entitled, Jesus is Your Qualification for God's Blessings. We're looking at Deuteronomy 28 and 2. And it reads, and all of these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Now, God loves to bless you. He has been declared, blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. This means that you can't run fast enough to escape them. When you turn one corner, there is a blessing waiting for you. When you turn another corner, you run smack into another blessing.
Now, you may think that you don't qualify for God's blessings because of the preceding verse, which says that these blessings will come to pass only if you diligently obey God's voice and keep all of his commandments. You know that no matter how hard you try, you just cannot keep all of God's commandments. In fact, the Bible says that if you fail to keep just one commandment, you fail to keep all. See that in James 2:10. My friends, I have good news for you. Jesus is the one who qualifies us for every single blessing because he has kept all of God's commandments. When he died for us on the cross, he not only fulfilled all of God's commandments, he also redeemed us from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. Note that he did not redeem us from the blessings of the law, so the blessings are still ours today. As you read the list of blessings in Deuteronomy 28, starting with, blessed shall you be in the city, in the country, the fruit of your body, your basket, when you come in, when you go out, verses 3-13. I believe that Jesus is saying to you, like the blessings, then take them by faith. You may say, but I don't deserve them. Yes. You don't deserve them, but you still get them because of Jesus. That is God's grace. The law says you must deserve the blessings, but the law is no longer here. Grace is here. So take the blessings by grace through faith. Believe God for the blessings. Today is no longer a question of how much or how well you have kept God's commandments. It is a question of how much you can believe God for his blessings. All the promises of God in Christ are yes. And because you are in Christ, you can say amen to his blessings. 2 Corinthians 1:20. May the Lord add blessings and favors to the hearers, readers, and especially the doers of his mighty and righteous word. The thought for the day, Jesus is the one who qualifies us for every single blessing because he has kept all of God's commandments. Amen and glory to God.
Lord, you promise. If I keep my mind on you, you keep me in perfect peace. Yes, you will.
You keep me in perfect peace.
Yes, you will. With a sincere heart, if I call upon your name, you'd never turn away from me, no, no.
You'd never turn away from me.
Said you'd give me everything I need. Yes, you will.
You'd give me everything. If I call upon your name, you never turn away from me, no more. You never turn away from me.
Said you'd give me everything I need, yes.
You give me everything I need,
yes.
I can't
Oh, hallelujah and glory to God. That was Pastor Donnie McClurkin singing, That's What I Believe. Hallelujah. It is now prayer time here at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience. And we just want our brothers and sisters to know that here at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience, we know that prayer changes things. Hallelujah. And we will pray expecting God to move because we truly believe, hallelujah, that as we pray, God hears our prayers, hallelujah, and he answers
Amen.
Us because he has declared in his word that if we abide in him and he abides in us, we can ask what we will, hallelujah, and it shall be done. So I want my brothers and sisters all over this world to come together right now. Let's forget about ourselves and put our focus on the Lord Jesus on this beautiful Palm Sunday as we touch and agree in prayer with Apostle Zeta Flowers. Amen.
Amen.
Apostle Zeta? Hallelujah. All right. Here we go. Let's get her back into the studio. Hallelujah. We will now go to prayer with Apostle. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Apostle Zeta?
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we can hear you, ma'am.
Oh, great. Okay, I'm not sure what happened.
Hallelujah. No worries.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you, hallelujah, for this beautiful day. God bless each and every one of you. Praise God. Let us prepare ourselves to go through the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Let us bow our hearts. Let us bow our heads. Father God, we come to you this morning. We come to you, as always, with thanksgiving, thanking you for who you are and how you take such good care of us, your children. We thank you this morning for a beautiful day that you have made for us. Hallelujah. We ask, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way this morning, a supernatural way, miraculous ways. We need you today. Hallelujah,
yeah.
Like never before. Hallelujah.
Yes,
we lift up our country to you.
Yes, Lord.
We lift up countries all around the world, asking,
thank you,
Lord, that you would step in, that you would move.
Yes, Lord.
You know the world situation. We know what's going on all over the world. There's chaos. There's continued murders, abuse, war, all kinds of things are happening.
Yes, yes.
We ask, Lord, that you would move in the behalf of your people everywhere. Those that are suffering, Lord, we speak healing. And
Lord,
those that are in need of deliverance, we pray, Lord, that you will deliver them. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, where there is no hope, we pray that hope will be instilled. Faith and trust in you, Christ Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Knowing that you came that we all might have life and that more abundantly.
Yes.
So we pray for life today, this morning. We thank you for life. We thank you for making a way for us to have eternal life.
Thank you.
In you, Christ Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we lift up those that are continuing to be abused, the children, those, Lord, that cannot fend for themselves. We pray for those that are encountering all kinds of things, mental issues, and we just pray, Lord, that you will help, that you will send forth your help in the mighty name of Jesus. Have your way, God.
Yeah.
Going to the hospitals. Hallelujah.
Yes. That's
the jails, the prisons.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Where your people are confined. And we pray, Lord, that they will know you in the pardoning of their sins.
Yes.
That they will be saved. Hallelujah. That they will be eager to live for you and serve you, God.
Yes.
Lord.
They will be ready to for their lives to be transformed. They will be ready to be changed and to be what you have originally called them to be.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for our schools. We pray that you would save our schools. We pray for continued education for our young people.
Yes.
And all of those that are trying to have a decent education, we pray that you would make the way in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you.
Thank you,
Lord. Remember those that are suffering today, that have lost loved ones, those that are grieving. We pray, Lord, that you will touch. We pray that you will heal the hurts, the wounds, and all of these things.
Yes.
Lord, we're hearing that viruses are breaking out even more in some areas, and we ask, Lord, that you would move in these situations.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus, we speak healing. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we pray that you will move in the hospitals. You will protect your people, your health care providers, those that are giving their all, hallelujah, to help in these situations. We pray, Lord, that you will, your hand of protection will be upon them.
That
you will watch over them. You would protect their families. In Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for our families, those that don't know you. We pray, Lord, that you will draw them by your spirit, that they will know you. We pray that you will use us in greater ways, Lord, to touch and to minister the needs. Hallelujah. Those that are around us. Hallelujah. Those that you have put in our pathway. We pray for those that are hungry. We pray that there will be food and other provisions made for them.
Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Open up ways, feeding stations. Whatever is needed for them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Remember the homeless. Hallelujah. Continue to open up places for them to live and to be cared for.
Lord.
In the name of Jesus. And Father God, if there are any sick among us today, we ask that, you would heal, that you would deliver, that you would set free.
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank
you. We lift up ministries that are represented today. We lift up those that are listening in to the service today, and we pray, Lord, that the word will go out and it will heal, that it will touch, hallelujah, that it will save in Jesus' name. We lift up Bishop Shirlene Cook this morning. Spirit Alive Ministries and
Lord,
ask, Lord, that you would continue to provide, that you would continue to allow ministry to go on across the world. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, amen and amen.
Amen. Let the Church of God say amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Live in me, Jesus. Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Have your way in me. Live in me, Jesus. This generation may ever see. So live in me, Jesus, please, Lord, then have your way in me.
Have you?
Praise God, praise God. It is now time for this morning's message. Hallelujah. And this morning, although it is Palm Sunday, Apostle Cook does, I never do anything like all the other churches. So right now I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. Today we will be walking through the 7th chapter of the book of Acts. But because in the essence of time, I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but we are simply going to walk through it this morning because I want everyone to know that the truth will set you free. So first, I want to give honor to God. Give an honor to all of you, and I'd like to have a word of prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come now before your throne of grace asking that I completely decrease so that you can have all the increase, Father. Step into my body of clay, Lord God, and use me to share a word with your people. I pray in the name of Jesus that if somebody doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, that they will come running asking what they must do to be saved. And, Father, I pray that this message will truly encourage, hallelujah, uplift, and edify the people of God. It is in your name that I pray all things. Amen and amen. Well, saints of God, we're going to continue on our journey. We're going to continue to look at Stephen this morning. And, you know, now Stephen was in verses Acts 6 and 8, it says, now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. As we spoke last week, all Stephen wanted to do was the work of the Lord. But he faced opposition from other Greek-speaking Jews who falsely accused him of blasphemy against Moses and God. You see, the false witnesses were coached to say, this fellow never stopped speaking against the holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs, okay, Moses handed down to us. The high priest then asked Stephen, are these charges true? This gave Stephen an opportunity to share the gospel. He shared the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And he gave them both barrels, even though it would cost him his life. But the main point that I want us to get across today on this Palm Sunday is that the truth will bring freedom to those who receive it. Okay?
Amen.
But as like anything with Christ Jesus, any gift that he gives us, we have to be willing to receive it. So now we're going to look at 5 truths that come out of this account of Stephen's sermon and execution. The first point I wanted to look at is the truth about the land of Israel. You see, the first thing we need to know, as declared in verses 1 through 7 of chapter 7, that is God is universally accessible. Uh-huh. See, let's look at verse 1 of our text. Then the high priest asked him, are these charges true? To this he replied, brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you. So he left the land of Chaldeans and settled in Haran. After the death of his father, God sent him to this land where you are now living. He gave him no inheritance here, not even a foot of ground, but God promised him that he and his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at that time Abraham had no child. God spoke to him in this way. Your descendants will be strangers in a land not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, God said, and afterwards they will come out of the country and worship me in this place. What we need to understand is Israel is special. But we also need to remember that God's blessing is not geographically limited. He can reach clear around the world to reveal himself to all people and accomplish his purposes.
Yes.
Habakkuk 2:14 declares and decrees, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Stephen made this point with the life of Abraham. The God of glory spoke to him long before he ever set foot in the promised land. And Abraham's life created a contrast with that of the lives of the people in the Sanhedrin. They lived in a holy land, oh, but they were not holy. They worshipped on the same holy mountain that Abraham had worshipped on, but they were not true worshipers, saints of God. You see, you need to understand that God cannot be formalized, he cannot be traditionalized, and he will not be realized just by doing the right things at the right time, at the right place, because none of that constitutes true worship. True worship is something that must come from the heart, and this was the truth Stephen was trying to convey, as we will see in a moment. There are some today who embrace and teach the mystical notion that God is more accessible in certain geographical locations than others. They speak of heavenly portals where God's presence comes down more frequently and forcefully than in other locations. So the thing I'd like to ask you and them is this. Is God really limited by geography? Does he really have favorite geographical locations that we must travel to in order to find him? If so, based on sheer beauty alone, I believe that Northern California would have to be one of these places. Hallelujah. But let me assure you that if you want to find an audience with God, all you need to do to get his attention is simply call out to him from wherever you are. You don't have to even be in a special geographical location, because God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. He is not limited by time or space. And we can be near him and hear his voice from anywhere the world. Now, before we move on to the next truth, let me qualify what I've said. I believe that God has a plan for the nation of Israel and its land, because he wants to show his glory there in a special way as a testimony, hallelujah, of his grace and power. And God's salvation is coming again to the land of Israel. However, God's salvation is available to anyone who will call on the name of the Lord and repent of their sin. You see, God is indeed universally accessible. Which brings us to point number two, which is the truth about God's leaders. Those who reject God's leaders are actually rejecting him. Long ago, Israel rejected such godly leaders as Joseph and Moses. Stephen spends the bulk of this chapter explaining how rebellious Israel has mistreated the leaders God sent. I will not read it aloud due to its length. Hallelujah. But we want you to know that this is, you know, being rebellious. Israel was always in trouble about something. You know, they were a rebellious people. Every time we turn around, the Israelites were doing something they had no business doing. But now Stephen is addressing the current leaders of Israel who have rejected the Messiah and are persecuting his followers. 1 Samuel 8, 6-8 tells us about Israel's rejection of more than its leaders. Where the word of God declares, "But when they said, 'Give us a king to lead us,' this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, 'Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king, as they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you.'" As I said, the children of Israel were always doing stuff they had no business doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you know, Stephen spent a lot of time addressing these current leaders. Hallelujah. And he went and he showed these examples. Now, I am not going to turn around and use this scripture to say to any of you that you should do everything I say, since I have one of God's servant leaders. Because, you see, I believe in the priesthood of Jesus Christ for every believer, not the priesthood of Apostle Shalene. Okay? So this means we can all come to God without needing anyone else to go for us or be a go-between for us. However, I also believe that God has given gifts to the church, as declared in the Creed in Ephesians 4:11-12. Where it says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. You know, saints of God, these are gifts given to the apostles of Jesus Christ. These are not titles of entitlement. They all do something, okay, for the body of believers so that they might be built up. The New Testament tells us how we are to treat those in leadership over us. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Then the writer goes on to say, pray for us. And you know why you need to pray for us? Because sometimes leaders are just wrong. That's why we need to hold them and each other up in prayer. That's why we need to hold them and each other accountable. Servant leaders need God's help, and we need your help too. As the apostle of this ministry, I beg you to pray for me so that I will be able to lead effectively, and not only this ministry, but all the ministries that I'm blessed to oversee. And if I've missed the mark, I'm approachable enough for somebody to come and tell me. If you see me or hear me running off a cliff, please pull a sister's coattail. Please let me know. However, when God puts something in our heart and says, do it, I'm here to tell you, I don't and I won't look back. You see, I want to press forward, and I hope that you will come along with me. The truth about God's leaders is that he typically speaks through them in order to get the whole body of Christ to do his will. Amen? They are not untouchable. Hear me clearly. No servant leader is untouchable. They should not be above questioning. However, the Lord is the one who chose them for a specific purpose, and both the leaders and the followers will answer to God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So far, if the Sanhedrin had been listening with open hearts, they could have been on their way to recovery. They would have already begun to understand that God's blessings did not necessarily come with the territory. They also would have understood that they were guilty of rejecting not only God's leaders, but God himself, the Messiah, King Jesus. Oh, but hallelujah, Stephen isn't done yet. He isn't done. Now he addresses the main accusation brought against him, the truth about the temple, which is in verses 42 through 50. See, we need to understand that God is greater than our best ideal of him. I'm going to read from verse 42. But God turned away and gave them over to the worship of the heavenly bodies. This agrees with what is written in the book of prophets. Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the desert, O house of Israel? Have you lifted up the shrine of Molech and the star of your god Rephan, the idols you made to worship? Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Babylon. Our forefathers had the tabernacle of the testimony with them in the desert. It had been made as God directed Moses, according to the pattern he had seen. Having received the tabernacle, our fathers under Joshua brought it with them when they took the land from the nations God drove out before them. It remained in the land until the time of David, who enjoyed God's favor, hallelujah, who enjoyed God's favor. Hold on. Excuse me. I just turned my Bible over. Okay. Having received the tabernacle, our father under Joshua brought it with them when they took the land from the nations God drove out before him, and remained in the land until the time of David, who enjoyed God's favor and asked that he might provide a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built the house for him. However, the Most High does not live in houses made by men. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? You see, saints of God, God cannot be confined to a building, you see.
Mm-hmm.
These temple keepers were guilty of esteeming the house over the one who supposedly occupied it. They were much more concerned about maintaining a religious system than they were about fulfilling God's design for his temple. Now, we know that Jesus bucked this system when he cleansed the temple. He made a whip and began driving out the dishonest money changers, who, by the way, were working for the high priest and their associates. Then Jesus reminded them that the temple's purpose was, here it is in Luke 19 and 46, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. The early church of Acts met in the courts of the temple daily for prayer and for teaching. They knew the purpose of God's house. It was not to reduce God's to man's ideal of him, but it was to reveal the glory of the Lord to all the nations. That also was in the essence the purpose for Israel as a nation, to show that Yahweh was the one true God and he loved all humans. Israel was intended to be a missionary nation, declaring God's goodness to all the earth. The temple was to be a place where God's glory could be known by those who came to worship. It was to be a place of prayer for the lost. Okay, saints of God, the design of God's church has not changed for today. The same purposes apply, but it should be even more prevalent to our lives, because we are the temple of God. God does not dwell in temples made by hand, but he does dwell in the temples that he himself has made. Our lives should emanate worship, praise, prayer, and the love that comes from our Father God. Hallelujah. So the truth about the temple is that God cannot be reduced or confined to a building or a religious system or to a belief system. God can be known through a personal relationship, hear me, with his son, the Messiah, King Jesus. We are the temple of God, and his purposes will be accomplished through us, not through a building. Okay? Let us get that down in our sanctified soul.
Yes.
Now I'm going to tell you the truth about the Sanhedrin. You see, God will go to great lengths to show people the truth. Now, this is what I like right here. This is where my buddy, my brother, Stephen, lets him have it with both barrels. He said, you stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your father. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet that your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was put into effect through the angels, but have not obeyed it. Oh, now you know, children of God, when the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus was standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they rushed him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. These leaders of Israel were stubborn and unwilling to change. They resisted the Holy Spirit. They were guilty of murdering Jesus, our Messiah. They lived in disobedience to the law that they had received. They were driven by hate. Their rejection of God was expressed by their hatred and murder of his Messiah, and it was now being expressed by their hatred and execution of Stephen. They were furious. And they gnashed their teeth at Stephen, and they dragged him out of the city to stone him. In the name of religion, they were killing an innocent man who dared to tell them the truth about God and about themselves. Their bloodthirsty cries betrayed their hearts that day. They weren't interested in what God had to say to them. God sent his son to speak truth to them, and they killed him. God sent Peter and John to give them the truth, and they threatened them. God sent several apostles to tell them the truth, and they put them in jail and had them flogged. God used Stephen to bring them the truth, but they killed the messenger. The truth about the Sanhedrin was that God had offered them numerous opportunities to change their hearts, but they wouldn't do it. Therefore, their wickedness was exposed. Their hateful actions condemn them. Finally, what about Stephen? The truth about Stephen. Well, we know that he had a right relationship with Jesus that brings freedom, because in verse 69 it says, while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he said this, he simply fell asleep. Huh. I wonder who he was patterning his life after. Sounds just like our Lord and Savior Jesus when he was crucified only three months earlier. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he gave up the ghost. Stephen did the same thing. Lord, don't hold this sin against them. And then the Lord just allowed him to fall asleep. You see, the truth had already set Stephen free. He had called on the name of Jesus and had received his forgiveness and his leadership. You could have bound him with shackles and of iron, but he still would have been free. He demonstrated truth and love to the very end of his earthly existence. Even his death was an expression of his freedom. As he saw the Lord and went to be with him, you can be sure that there was a huge welcome home party for Stephen in heaven. Hallelujah. So I ask you today, what is the truth doing in you? Hallelujah. Or have you been set free by the truth of the Lord's word? Hallelujah. Do you understand that God is speaking to us today? Through his preachers, through fellow believers, hallelujah. Do you know that the Lord is speaking to us today through the Holy Spirit? Are we going to reject his word? We have to understand. We have to get over ourselves. Hallelujah. We have to know that we know that we know that the eyes of our hearts have been opened to God's truth, and we are walking in that truth. Hallelujah. We have to know that God is not contained in a building. He is not in a geographical location. No, God is everywhere at the same time. Hallelujah. He's omnipresent everywhere at the same time. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. He's almighty.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's the truth about God. Hallelujah. And another truth is that he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. So that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You have a choice to make today, my friend. If you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm talking to you as a servant leader of the Most High God. The truth will make you free. Living a life in Christ Jesus gives you a freedom that cannot be taken away. Hallelujah. Because we as Christians, what if God be for us, what can man do unto us? Okay? Hallelujah. You know, even if we die, hallelujah, yet shall we live in Christ Jesus. So we shouldn't even be afraid of dying. They can only kill us once. Hallelujah. Are you prepared to live for the truth? Are you prepared to die for the truth? I am. I am one that says, for Jesus I live and for Jesus I'm prepared to die because I know the truth. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I know the truth. They didn't take his life, Jesus' life. He laid it down. He laid it down so that I would have a right to the tree of life. He laid it down, hallelujah. And then, saints of God, on the third day he rose. Hallelujah. That's what we're going to be celebrating next Sunday, Easter, Resurrection Sunday. And he did it for your sin and mine. He did it so we would no longer have to be enslaved to the sin that we're in. He set us free. And I praise God that he loved me so much that he has set me free. Yes. And why would I let the enemy put me back in bondage when God has delivered me? I know the truth. The devil has no power unless we give it to him. But when we know the truth, he can't just ease up on us and tell us any kind of thing because we're not going for that.
Yes.
You know, I tell people all the time, have your it is written ready. Or when the enemy comes up on you, like he came up on Jesus after he'd been up in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, have your it is written ready. When the devil comes up on you and tells you you're a loser, you're never going to be nothing. No, have your it is written ready. I am more than a conqueror. Through Christ Jesus that loves me. When he comes and tells you, hallelujah, that you're going to die, have your it is written ready. God said, I shall live and I shall not die.
Hallelujah.
We better learn how to speak life over ourselves because when we speak life, we're speaking God's truth. And you know what? Just like with Stephen, when we stand and deliver God's truth, there's nothing they can do with us. Oh, they might talk about us. Yeah, they'll talk about us. And they might, some of them might gnash their teeth at us. But you know what? That doesn't make the truth any less the truth. Amen. I don't care about people getting upset because I tell them the truth about God's word.
You always stepping on people's toes, Bishop.
Well, here's my saying. If you line your toes up in the word of God, then Bishop won't be stepping on your toes no more, will she?
Amen. Hallelujah. Come on now.
You know, we can't let people shut us down when it comes to the truth of God. We can't let people make us put God to the side. We can't go along to get along. We are a radical people. We are a peculiar people. We know the truth. And if we've been set free, we need to live free. We need to stop living like, I'm saved and I'm free. Oh, no, I'm in bondage. I'm saved, but I'm free. Oh, no, I'm in bondage.
Jesus,
either you're going to choose to live in freedom and in the truth, or you're going to choose to remain in bondage. You can't have it both ways, saints of God.
Come on.
You got to be like Stephen. Stephen knew he was, you know, Stephen knew what God told him to do. And if you know what God has told you to do, don't you let anybody stop you under any circumstance.
Hallelujah.
Because, see, God will bring everything that he has ordained to pass. God never loses. He always wins.
Come on.
He never fails.
Come on now.
So when you know that the God we serve is an unstoppable God, hallelujah, he is an immutable God. He never changes.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Then we don't have to fear about being placed back in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to fear dying. We don't have to fear letting go of anything because we understand that in Christ we lack nothing.
Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah.
So we've got to teach people. We got to tell people, look. You go to a lot of sanctuaries, but Jesus is nowhere in those buildings. The world has moved in to God's territory. And there's so much world up in the church. You can barely tell the difference sometimes.
Mm-mm-mm.
So we've got to live with the conviction of God's truth.
Yes. Yes, yes.
At all times. So if you have not made that connection, if you are not in a healthy relationship with Jesus, because that's the only way you're going to have freedom, you know, is by having a right relationship with Jesus Christ through your faith, you know. But there's still an area of truth we need to think about ourselves. Who would we be more comfortable with? Those who were driven by self-interest and hatred, or someone who had found freedom of the truth and was willing to share it boldly? Now, I realize that these are two extremes, but you're going to pick one or the other. Either you're going to obey God and trust God, or you don't. So where will you stand today? Will you stand in God's truth? Will you stand in your relationship with Christ Jesus? But, you know, because we have to see the truth about ourselves, somebody out there that, well, I'm not saved. I don't know Jesus. Well, you've come to a really good truth about yourself. We, as human beings, we all need Jesus. Every last one of us.
Come on now.
We need Jesus in order to walk in freedom. Without Jesus, there will be no freedom. We are free to live our lives as God has commanded us to. We are free to do what God has told us to do. And we don't have to spend a lot of time arguing with people. Matter of fact, we don't have to spend any time arguing with people. I have this saying I tell people all the time. I said, you know what? Let the Lord decide between me and thee. But when I say that, saints of God, I make sure that I'm in right standing with God because I want him to be agree with me, and I don't want to be found doing something that I should not be doing. Amen? So right now, if you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, on this Palm Sunday would be a good time for you to give your life over to him. So I'm going to call forth Evangelist Kathy right now and Evangelist Kathy Horton, and she will lead you in the salvation process. Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Bishop. All you preach today, you blessed my soul. God bless the message. Glory. Hallelujah. It's Latin. God bless the messenger. For those of you who heard the word, she gave it to you. She made it very plain from the new saint to the pulpit. There's a standard. Those of you who just, she asked, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, she made it clear. If you believe that with all your heart, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that he was born of a virgin, walked on his earth 33 years, and in the process there were miracles and signs and wonders But he gave up his life on the cross, and on the third day he rose. You believe that?
Yes.
Repeat after me, because there's nothing more I can say, because she's just preached. She's just preached. Glory to bless you. Glory, hallelujah.
Thank
you,
Jesus.
Please repeat after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Glory, hallelujah. Forgive me of all my sins. Thank you for this moment. And you made yourself real to me this day. Thank you for dying for me in Jesus' name. I receive you as my Lord, glory, hallelujah, and Savior in Jesus' name. Wash me clean that I may walk holy and upright in your sight, according to your will and purpose, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. God bless you. Bishop, please allow me to say something.
Amen. Go ahead, sis.
Okay. Okay, I don't want to be out of order. I don't want to be out of order.
No, but you're fine.
Baby, okay. You bless my soul today. You bless my soul today. If any, as you call them, servant leaders heard you, he preached to us today. We got less than a day with Stephen. For God I live, for God I die. Oh, it's easy to say. But when that gun is put to your head, are you going to say that?
Come on.
When you are children, are you going to say that?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to compromise? See, as long as it's okay, everything is fine, everything is wonderful and all. Well, they can talk about us. We can deal with most of that. Most of us can. But glory to God, have we really dedicated our lives to that point? To not be intimidated or knocked off course in any type of way. We can't just talk this. We got to walk it and show it. He said that. She didn't say those exact words, but he sure put it out there. Can you do it? Can you do it? This is. I'm listening to my friends in other countries, and they're persecuting Christians. You don't think it's going to happen here eventually?
It will. It's very subtle.
A lot of places, they don't want you to say, in God we trust. They don't want you to say anything about God and Jesus. I've been in other countries. They got all these symbols of God in public places. We can't even say Jesus.
Come on. Get ready to say, come on now.
Come on.
You tell the truth. Come on, sis.
Let's be that what we're supposed to be. Let's be that.
Amen.
Thank you, God, to get the glory out of your life. God bless you. Love you in the Lord. Be blessed.
Love you in the Lord, my beautiful sister. Amen. And since it is Palm Sunday, I am going to, and we do have some time, I'm going to allow, I want all the servant leaders today, they're going to come in and just give us a word about what Palm Sunday means to them, about being free in Christ means to them. Hallelujah. We're going to start at the top. Minister Tina, come on in the room, dear.
Oh, glory, hallelujah, Bishop. That was an amazing, amazing message today. Touched my soul as well. What Palm Sunday means to me is Jesus had no fear because he trusted in his Father in his heart. And he had no fear when he went through Jerusalem that day, knowing that he was going to be killed the next day. Crucified, yes. So have no fear. Jesus is here.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yes. Praise you.
Thankful that the Lord blessed us, you and me. I found the ministry with you. Because God works in wonderful ways, and I'm just so thankful for what we have together and with the ministry. Thank you all so much. I love you all. God bless you.
Amen. Evangelist Michelle, come on in the room, love.
Thank you so much. Palm Sunday means to me, you know, as Minister Tina said, fear from freedom from all fear. It means peace. It means peace, love. It means family.
Yes.
It means forgiveness. It means getting down to the very depth of your soul and just giving all of yourself to God, because that's what he did for us. He gave his all to us when he died on that cross. So what
yes, he
do
did.
We do, Bishop? We must give our all. We must be willing to give everything
in our breath.
In every breath that we take, we must be willing to give that back to him, because he owns all of us anyway. So this is what Sunday means for me. You know, as you say, reboot, reboot, reboot your life and give it all to him. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, my dear sister. That was beautiful. All right, Bishop Lester Carver, come on in the room.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. I'll tell you,
hallelujah.
Palm Sunday to me is really the best example of what the Word of God says when it says the end of a thing is better than the beginning thereof. We see that Christ is brought in on riding on the back of a donkey's colt as the king, you know.
Yeah.
And what we see is at the end of all of this glory is his crucifixion and his resurrection. And then when he's given all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, that's when the Holy Spirit is able to be sent to us again to complete the work. When he said it is written, it was written. But see, it starts with this grand visible entry at the beginning, right? That's what Palm Sunday is to me, is that small, it's that beginning, that small beginning, right? But then the end, when the work is completed, and now, just as it is for us, we're to be looking forward to what God is doing through us, right? But it had to start, right? So, just embrace what that means to you. Because the beginning of your salvation was one thing, but what God is doing with you in your life is going to be so much more in the end that many are going to benefit beyond you.
Amen. Oh, that's good. I like that, Bishop. That's good. All right. Apostle Zeta, come on in the room. Oh, she must be on. All right, Minister, while we wait on Apostle Zeta, Minister Gladys, come on in the room.
What a wonderful message this morning. Wonderful message. Truly a blessing. Palm Sunday means to me family, commitment, boldness, being bold, being able to stand in Christ with boldness. To love your neighbors, your brothers and sisters, in spite of forgiveness. You know, we're not perfect, you know. Only God is perfect. Mm-hmm. And stop judging and looking at others and seeing people by their mistakes, by their, I call it, disabilities of true life, you know. Not wanting to help your neighbor wholeheartedly. I just thank God, you know, how Jesus walked through Bethlehem, knowing that everyone, you know, not everyone, but the majority of the town was against him, and he knew what was going to happen, but he still took that walk. That's boldness. That's boldness.
Amen.
I thank God. I thank God. Bishop, I truly thank you for this message. You have really, really showed out in the spirit on today.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Sister Diane, come on in the room. Okay. We'll go to, if anybody else wants to chime in, there's a lot of you sitting here. If you want to chime in, just push your one on your keypad, and I'll let me know you want to talk. I see we have Apostle Zeta back. Apostle Zeta, come on in the room.
Amen.
I truly enjoyed the message. It was just so well put together. As someone else already said, it was such a blessing. Palm Sunday to me is just a blessing. The God that we serve showed forth his humility, and we should be humble because we serve a God that truly has proven his humility all the way.
Yes.
In every way for us, his people, from the beginning to the end.
Yes.
And he continues to be humble. Hallelujah. And he teaches us the same, to walk humbly before
yes.
him. Hallelujah. And others. Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Anyone
message.
Else? Go ahead, Apostle.
I'm
Apostle
finished.
Zeta, were you finished, ma'am?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right, anybody else, if you're in the studio, if you're in the sanctuary this morning, you'd like to have a word, please press 1 on your dial pad, and that will let me know that you would like to have a word. Hallelujah. We just praise God for all of these wonderful servant leaders here, and we do know the truth about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We are willing to go all the way with him. We know,
yes.
hallelujah, that he and he alone, hallelujah, has paid the price for our sins. And not he didn't just pay for a few of our sins. He died for all sin. And people need to remember that when you start wanting to judge others, you know, or put others, look at others more so than certain groups of people more so than others. If you're going to talk about homosexuality, talk about the adulterers, the gossipers, the liars, the cheaters. We have to look at all sin. And get to know the truth. God is not pleased with any sin. All sin is an abomination to God. All sin separates us from God. So there's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom, and there's no big sin or little sin. Sin is sin. Either we trust the truth or we don't. Either we'll obey God's truth or we won't. Hallelujah. And I pray that all of us that are in here today have decided to listen, to hear God's truth, to live God's truth, and to be a living example of who he is. Now, before we close today, on tomorrow, I would like to invite everyone to a brand new program that is premiering here on the Spirit Alive Network, and it is entitled God's Great Love for You. It will be facilitated by our very own Bishop Lester Carver. You can catch this program at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every second and fourth Monday. So tomorrow will be our first episode, and I invite you all to come out and to join Pastor Lester, join the bishop, you know, as he comes forth. And I'm sure you're going to hear a lot of what you heard today at some point, because part of God's great love for us is that he sent his son to die for us. So I'm praying that you all will tune in and join Pastor Lester tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, and 6 p.m. Pacific time for God's great love for you. I can't wait to hear what God is going to do through this awesome man of God on this program, and I hope you'll come out and listen too. Hallelujah. We want to pray that you all continue to have a beautiful and blessed week. And now for the benediction. May the grace and peace of God rest, rule, and abide in you greatly. Hallelujah.
So I just want to thank all of you for listening today, all of you that were here today, all the servant leaders that were present. I praise God for all of you. I couldn't do this without you. So I'm just grateful, grateful, grateful to God. And again, we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed weekend, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household of faith to your household. It is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. God bless you. You are dismissed. And remember, God loves you, and so do we. Have a beautiful rest of your day and a blessed week, everyone, from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. Peace. Amen. I love you, family. You did
amen.
Awesome today.
Thank you. We love you.
I love you.
Love you.
Love you. Have a good day.